Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our Old Testament reading to Ezra chapter 4. Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said to them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes wrote Bishlam, Midrayat, Tabi'il, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Reum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes the king in this sort. Then wrote Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe and the rest of their companions, the Dinaites, the Apharsachites, the Tarpilites, the Apharsites, the Archivites, the Babylonians, the Susankites, the Dehavites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Asnapar brought over and set in the cities of Samaria and the rest that are on this side of the river and at such a time. This is the copy of the letter they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king. Thy servants, the men on this side of the river and at such a time. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king, that if this city be builded, and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore we have sent and certified the king, that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause this city was destroyed. We certify the king that if this city is builded again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Then sent the king an answer to Rehum the chancellor, and to Shimshai the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time. The letter which ye sent unto us hath been plainly read before me. And I commanded, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll and tribute and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Now, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and by power. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem, so it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, let's talk about some names here first. We have the name Ahasuerus, and we have the name Artaxerxes. All right, so shall we talk about these men? Let's see, am I doing this in this chapter or the next? Yeah, okay. So Artaxerxes mentioned second, Ahasuerus mentioned first. There are three books of the Bible in which this title Ahasuerus is used. And yes, we need to understand it as a title and not as a name. King Artaxerxes, that would be like the title of Pharaoh, or the title Darius, or something like Your Majesty. It means the great ruler. That's what it means. There are three books of the Bible in which this title is used: Ezra, Esther, and Daniel. Each of these uses in these books concerns a different monarch. So the first in the chronology is Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. And he's mentioned as the father of Darius. The father of Darius the Mede. The second is a king also known as Cambyses, the son of Cyrus, and year 529 was the year of his accession. The third mention is the book of Esther, the later monarch, 5th century BC. These all three are different men, beloved. And I know that the name is the same or the title is the same, and so it's kind of difficult to know exactly who is being spoken of. So, this is the Ahasuerus spoken of here in verse 6 is Cambyses, who was one of the Persian rulers, the son of Cyrus. Okay, now beyond that, there is the name Artaxerxes, and that name is only used twice, or that title is used only twice in the Bible, in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, what's interesting about it is that in the book of Ezra, it's used on two different occasions, speaking of two different men. It's used here in chapter 4, but then it's also used later in chapters 6 through 8. And in chapters 6 through 8, it's a different guy than we see here in chapter 4. Again, we're thinking of titles here and not particular names. So, the Ahasuerus that is spoken of here is the son of Cyrus, and Cyrus was the one who gave the command for the temple to be built in Jerusalem. So that's his son. And so first of all, there's a letter written to him. He reigns about 8 years. And when he passes from the scene, a usurper takes his place. His name is Pseudosmerdis. And he was not in the genealogical line of the kings, but he was a usurper from the Magi, or from the magician's court, from the soothsayer's court. And he acceded the title to himself, but was deposed after about 8 months. But this is the Artaxerxes that is being spoken to, the Artaxerxes that says, you tell them to stop building that temple. Okay? And why is this important? Well, number one, I think we ought to understand which man we're reading about when we read the scripture. But second, notice that Cambyses when he receives a letter to this effect, it seems to be of none effect. He doesn't really move on it. And why wouldn't he move on it? Because it was his father that gave the original command for the temple to be built, and he wouldn't countermand his father's word, his father's law. But when Pseudo-Smerdis comes into power and rules for 8 months out of the Magi, he sees Jerusalem as a threat. And so they become very choosy in the records that they choose out. And in those records, what they find is that of old time, that city even ruled over where we are today. No. We don't want them to rise back up, lest someday they come knocking on our door again, like they did in the days of Solomon. And so he doesn't have that familial connection to the house of Cyrus. And so he has no problem becoming very choosy about the records that they advertise, and they stop the building. We'll remember coming up in chapter 6, that Darius will search out those same records and he'll find the decree of Cyrus, and he will piggyback on top of that decree of Cyrus and say, you tell those Jews to get back to that building so that they can pray for the life of the king. So what do we have here? We have competing loyalties, competing families, and competing authorities, right? Which records are we going to choose? Sounds like standard political fare, doesn't it? With no real tie. Okay, so that's who we're hearing about then with these two men. And I hope that helps to clear things up for you there. The second point, and I'm already out of time, so I'll be brief in this. The refusal of the Israelites, the Judahites, to let those of Samaria join with them in the building. This offense that the Samaritans felt here in chapter 4, well, that lasts all the way to the time of Christ. We can see it there, right? You Jews say that you should worship in Jerusalem, but our fathers say we should worship in this mountain, Samaria. When Messiah comes, the woman at the well says, he's going to sort all this out. What does Christ say? You worship you know not what. Salvation is of the Jews. That offense that took place at that time, because those men truly were unbelievers and they show their true colors very soon after they're denied partnership in the building. Let's remember a few things about the building itself. The building had to be done with great care according to God's command by particular artisans that God had moved. Remember Bezalel and Aholiab in the first days of the tabernacle, but now in the days of Solomon, we had those artisans that came from Tyre that the Lord moved upon their hearts when they went to build up all those things. And the same is true today. And those Jews that came back from Babylon, what did they have with them? They had the authority of the king, and they had all of his seal. They had all of his authority given to them in that. He gave them the vessels to use so that it would be built according to the pattern. These Samaritans, They were recently come from all over the lands, installed there by the king of Asher, an Assyrian king, and they had no part nor lot in that matter. They weren't interested in building the temple according to the law of Moses. They had no idea about the law of Moses. They feigned when they said, we've been worshiping that God too, you know, because we're in his land now. So we worship the God of this land. But when we go somewhere else, we'll worship the God of that land. Well, the Jews knew this. They were faithful worshipers of Jehovah. And so they said, you don't have part or lot in this matter. And so what happens? Those people said, you know what? You're right. We're just Samaritans. We shouldn't be entering in. Please hurry up and build that temple so we can worship in it with you alongside. No, that's not what happened at all. Their true colors come out very quickly, don't they? And so the application for us all, and I'm sad to have to hurry this, but the application for us all is we cannot bring worldly ideas into building the church. We cannot bring worldly ideas and methodology into building the church. I've talked to you before about the commercial or business model that it seems to have entered into the church today, that we advertise, we compete for customers, we make things as comfortable as possible because we want people to come, and we cater to them and we tell them it's all about them and so on. Beloved, it's not, and we can't go that direction. We want to be like Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus. We want to be addicted to the ministry that God has put in our midst. We want to be convinced of that, and we want to go to town like God has commanded us, Christ has commanded us to do. And so we must tell the world when she brings her ideas in here, no. We have a manual to follow. We have direction from our King. And I know it doesn't make any sense to you. In fact, it is, can I use an apostolic term? Foolishness to you. But to us, it is the power of God. And so the Jews of that day denied the assistance of the Samaritans because they truly did have no part nor lot in that matter. And beloved, we must not let worldly ideas that have no part and no lot in our King's matter enter into this establishment of His. With that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the